Hi, and welcome to the Group X-Files. This is the podcast for demystifying the secrets of becoming a successful group exercise instructor. I'm your host, Sarah Keller, and I can't wait to share with you the two decades of experience I have and what that's taught me in terms of leading thriving and full group exercise classes. Welcome to our first bonus episode. The content in this episode is going to be geared more towards group exercise managers and directors, but instructors, if you're curious to hear a little bit of what goes on behind the scenes on the management side, feel free to tune in. Today's topic is team building through transparency and how really being open with your team can have a lot of benefits in terms of creating a positive culture. All right, so let's jump into team building through transparency. For all of the directors and the group exercise managers out there, welcome to the party. This content is more specifically catered towards you. Quite often, as we are seeking to create a positive culture within our teams, we maybe have some shortcomings that we don't realize are shortcomings until we realize that our team is not as fully functional as it could be. For a little bit of background, the facility that I work for, Brick Bodies, is a small chain out of the Baltimore area over on the East Coast in Maryland. In the past, we had run with a Group X manager for each of our different clubs. And that worked for some time pretty well. But what we found was that the experience was inconsistent for our instructors across clubs, depending on who their Group X manager was. And that was to no one's fault. It was just that each of the team leaders had a slightly different personality, different way of doing things. But when you have instructors across different clubs, it was creating a little bit of a disjointed experience for them within just one brand, right? It's one thing if they teach for Facility A, Facility B, and Facility C around town to make their money, that they certainly are going to have a different experience between facilities. But to have it within our own brand felt disjointed. So we, instead of having several part-time Group X managers, rolled all those ones into a single group exercise director role who oversees the entire brand. And that's the role that I've held for the last 6.5 years. In doing so, I was fortunate that I was the group exercise manager of one of our clubs already when this transition happened. So I had a good bit of rapport with a chunk of our instructors. And I was also an instructor at that time. And I taught across several clubs, so I knew some of the other instructors, not as a manager, but as a cohort by teaching, whether it was team teaching with them or seeing them before or after classes as we transitioned. So I was in the beneficial position when I took on this bigger role, right, of being the group exercise director for the entire brand and creating one cohesive team. Our instructor base is anywhere from about 105 to 115 instructors, depending on where we are in the year. And that's a lot of cats to try to wrangle, right? Most of us are dealing with somewhat large teams, and we're trying to figure out how do we make this feel like an actual team? And I am by no means the ultimate authority on this. I can tell you that right now. I've even had some people say, I'm not a member of a team, I'm just an employee here. And that's a whole different discussion on how do we build that culture of making it feel like a team and wanting to look out for each other, right? But that's part of building this culture. And when a company's culture is negative, then people aren't fulfilled when they come to work. They maybe don't look forward to coming to work. Things fall apart. The pieces aren't in place. The foundation cracks, and those cracks start to really become noticeable. So it has been my mission to work with my team in the best way possible to make them feel like we are truly a team. At the end of the day, I am their leader, absolutely. And at the end of the day, technically what I say goes. But if I ruled from this pedestal and with that attitude of, I mean, you can say what you want to say, but at the end of the day, my vote wins, I wouldn't get anywhere with them. And frankly, our members and our participants would suffer because of that. So instead, I've taken the opposite approach to that, and I have been really open with my team. I have been as transparent as possible with them on many different topics. all the way from club performance, right? So we have two team gatherings a year where we do look at the state of our club and our brand and how it's doing. And I share very openly with them our membership numbers, our sales numbers, our EFT, our personal training, because I want them to understand where we are as a brand. Especially, this was very important the first few years coming out of the pandemic, when group exercise in our area had actually rebounded rather quickly, but our membership base, as many other clubs experienced across the nation, was struggling. Mostly, well, not mostly, but in a chunk, because we lost those sleeper members, right? Those people that had been members for years and years and years and were paying their dues but never actually showed up to the club. Nonetheless, they were paying dues all that time and we were making money. And then all of a sudden during the pandemic, a lot of folks revisited all of their quote-unquote subscriptions. What are they paying money for month after month, and are they actually using these things? So across our industry, a lot of us lost those sleeper members. And we, you know, maybe we'll get them back one day. Maybe we've gotten some of them back already. But that took a chunk. Then there was the chunk of people that were just slow to return out of fear, out of uncertainty, out of all of those things. So while group exercise and our classes started to rebound and fill very quickly, because let's face it, group exercise is an amazing thing and it brings people together and it creates a community like no other, and it creates raving fans who are determined to show up day in and day out. I can very strongly remember I showed up to teach a Matt Pilates class at one of our clubs, like right after we were able to reopen from the pandemic, and we had very limited registration because you could only have X number of people, blah, blah, blah. And sure enough, one of my regulars from before the shutdown was there the first day. Cute little, I don't know, 4'6", 85 years old, shows up to class and she's like, my friends tell me I shouldn't be here because I might die. And I say, well, I'd rather die here than die alone at home. And she has been in class, right? But that's the attitude that Group X participants have. So that's why that area rebounded so quickly. But when my instructors are seeing that the clubs look busy because their classes look busy, they don't understand why money's not just flowing and we're not spending money on all the things that we spent money on before the shutdown. So that was where transparency really started to become important between me and my team, for them to understand where we were as a brand fully and wholly. And I've embraced that ever since. Our C-suite shares pretty openly with the management staff and with our full-time staff across the board, whether they're membership counselors, fitness trainers, etc. And I felt it was only right to then continue sharing openly with my team. They deserve to know how the company was doing. They deserve to know how our department's doing, how other revenue driving departments are doing. So how our membership sales are doing, how our personal training is doing, because all of those things influence, right, how our brand's doing, number one, and how our brand is doing then influences what we can spend money on. What do we have the resources for? And then sometimes they see us spending money on investments that we think are going to be good for our brand and our club, right? Maybe like our club, for example, our flagship club invested in a whole recover section. So that was unique to that club out of our other ones. And some people didn't understand, well, why would we spend money on that? Shouldn't we spend money on this or this or this? But at the end of the day, right, most of our group exercise instructors aren't as thoroughly enmeshed in the industry as us to understand, oh, well, the research shows, the trends show, other clubs have demonstrated that, right? And we know the recovery industry is booming right now. So that was a wise investment for us to try to bring some more money into the club. But if we're not open and we're not transparent with our teams, they don't know the reasoning behind these choices. And that's on a very big level, but even on smaller levels, right? Why haven't we updated our sound system? Why haven't we reinvested in more equipment for our space? Oh, I always run out of dumbbells for my class. Why don't we have more dumbbells? And if we haven't created a culture that we're open and we talk about these things with our team, they don't have any understanding, and then they get frustrated and they don't have a great experience working for us because they feel like they're being kept in the dark And the members get frustrated because we don't have enough dumbbells for class. Well, and I've told my manager that we need more dumbbells, and they don't order them. I don't know why. So the more information that we can arm our team with to make them understand, right? A lot of it is about understanding, having enough of the picture, right? They don't need every single dollar spent laid out to them. But if they have a better picture and a better understanding of how the club is choosing to invest its money and what resources it has, right? Maybe they think the club is booming because their classes are full every week, but maybe they are the anomaly. Maybe they are just kicking butt, taking names, and the rest of the day, the club's a little quiet. They don't know if we don't fully, openly, transparently share that with them. So creating that foundation of being open about the brand and the brand's status and keeping our team fully involved in knowing about big projects going on or reinvestments that we're making in the club, right? We don't like to think of them as expenditures. They're reinvestments, right? We are investing in our brand, investing in our club, investing in our members, thereby investing in our staff as well. At least we would like them to feel that way. We would like them to feel that we're all in this together. Our members don't succeed if we don't give them a good experience. We can't give them a good experience if our team is falling apart from the foundation upward. So it's super important, especially our Group X instructors make contact with so many members every time they come into the club, right? They're arguably one of the most familiar faces to the members, at least the members that are participating in group exercise. They have so many member interactions, so it's really important that we make sure that our group exercise instructors feel like they are part of a team, feel like they're in the know, feel like they are valued enough for us to be open with them. So part of that, like I said, comes from the foundation, making sure that they're aware of what's going on in the brand, how is the brand doing, and if there are any big reinvestments going on, what are those reinvestments and why do we think that those are great ways to reinvest our members' dues coming into us, right? Because at the end of the day, our money is technically our members' money. Just like I tell the instructors, right? It is their job. Literally, it is a job to come and teach for us. The club, the brand is investing in those instructors to come in and teach. So we are taking our members' money. Our members are investing in us. They trust that we're going to give them a great place to work out. So then we need to be open with our members about, you know, what's going on. Because that helps set the foundation of, oh, they want me to know what's going on. It's important to them that I am in the know. So once we create that basic foundation of making sure that our instructors are up to date on what's going on in our brand, then we need to really look at how are we treating our instructors? How are we talking to them? For a very long time, I was told by other instructors that they felt like it was hard to go to their Group X manager, to their supervisor, and have an open conversation. Either they just felt like they were being dismissed, or they felt like it went in one ear and out the other, or it was hard for them to actually schedule time to sit down with their supervisor. And all of those things, again, start to put cracks in that foundation of culture. If we are truly leaders and not dictators, we're just leaders. You can't be a leader if you don't have a team to lead. So if you're leading by demands and by dictates and by saying this is how it's going to be, end of story, you're not creating a culture where everyone matters. But when we look at truly functional teams, all of those team members have some input. And again, at the end of the day, it is the leader's role to take all that input and make the decision that's going to best serve everyone. And that does mean some people are going to be disappointed. Just by nature, that's how life is. Some people are disappointed and some people are thrilled. And then there's the group of people in the middle that are like, oh, okay, that's how it's going to be. That's cool. Whatever. It's not going to make or break their day. And it's hard sometimes to make those decisions because the people that are going to be on the disappointed end might be very important people to you and they might matter. But at the end of the day, when you're looking at the big picture and making that decision based on all of the input you've gotten, you have to make the decision that's right for the whole. And that whole includes the members, it includes the other club staff, and it includes your team. In further seeking to create this transparency, it's very important to be accessible. I understand that certain conversations are very hard to have with your team, or there might be some instructors on your team that are a little more challenging to work with than others. That's how it is anywhere you go. Part of our job as a leader is to figure out how to work with those more difficult folks and create some sort of rapport. It doesn't mean that you're best friends and you go out and have a drink on the weekend, but that you can work effectively together. Because the more you can adapt and work with the people on your team, the team feels that. And they see that, oh, they make time for me here and we've resolved this issue and so on. And those things go toward building that positive culture, that team feeling that you're looking for. When we're talking about being accessible to our team, it's meeting them where they are. Right? Most of us maybe manage several different facilities, right? We might have multiple locations within our brand and we aren't at all of them every day. It's really challenging to find that right balance. So we can't say, oh, well, you know, you only go to this club. I can't meet you there. Sorry. In today's world, there's so many different ways we can meet with our team. We could meet with them on a phone call. We could meet with them on a video call, whether you use Teams or Google or whatever you use for a video call, right? It's that in-person experience, but not in person. Or you can meet with them at the facility or some neutral point in between and have a coffee or whatever kind of smoothie or something might be at a convenient meeting place. There are ways we can make it happen if we choose to make it happen. And when our team feels like they've been pushed off and pushed off and that we're not accessible to them, that makes them feel that they're not valued. And that starts to infect their mood when they go there. And yes, I said infect, not affect, because it is like a bad virus and it's going to keep spreading. Because if they're coming in feeling negative, that vibe is running off on the members that they run into, the other staff that they talk to. And that spreads way quicker than we would want it to. So make the time for them. That's part of being transparent, is being accessible. Making it so you can have an open conversation with them, they can have an open conversation with you. And when you do connect for that meeting, it's very important to maintain a listening aspect. Truly hear them. If they are requesting a meeting with you versus you requesting a meeting with them, your role is primarily to listen, to hear them out. Not to be thinking of what you're going to say to respond to them, but to truly listen and let that sit and think about how you can best work with them to move forward from whatever it is. If it's an issue, if it's just that they need some guidance, but truly listening first with the intent just to hear them. That way we're truly focused in the moment and we're truly focused on what they are conveying to us and not what we think we should be saying to respond to them. I can also tell you, as I've settled into this role, and probably possibly part due to just getting older every year, I don't feel like I have time to beat around the bush with people. I'm going to be direct with them. And to be honest, I thought that was part of my personality that my team would struggle with, because I'm generally not a pat you on the back and say they're there kind of person. I'm generally a pick yourself up by the bootstraps and figure life out and get on with it kind of person. But I've been very open to my team about that. And I said, this is where I'm going to struggle. I am not great at being soft. I am great at being direct. And so they know going into it that that's going to be a weak point for me. I acknowledge that. Again, part of leading is knowing what you're going to be really great at and what you can excel at and what you're not so great at, because you might need to rely on your team. And that's the beautiful thing about having a team. We don't know everything, it turns out. Sad to say, we don't know everything. And quite often, we get so kind of tunnel visioned because we visited this club or that club, or we went to this lecture or this conference and everyone was talking about blah, 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 blah. And that's great, but at the end of the day, none of those facilities are your facility. So while those ideas might seem great in practice and they might be working great for other people, you might bring them back to your club and realize that they have to be tweaked. Or you don't notice the other ripple effects from it, from your perspective, because you're so close to it. But the moment you embrace that team mindset and either seek feedback from the team before the initiative launches or continue to gather feedback after launch, there's no fault in trying something and having it fail. It's only a failure if you don't learn from the shortcomings of it. It's what I tell my folks in class all the time. Try something different. Try the next progression. Try whatever. Worst case, you go back to doing exactly what you're doing, but you've learned something as a result. It's not a failure if you learn. And if you embrace that mindset when you go forth with your team and in your clubs, it helps them to know that you're acknowledging that you're human, right? That you're gonna make mistakes, that you're in it for everyone's best good as much as possible, but that sometimes you might make a decision that wasn't the right decision. And we're not stuck with those decisions, generally speaking, right? We can roll them back. We can reevaluate, relaunch, and try again. But that's very hard for a lot of leaders to understand. People that are managing from their podium up high and are above their people sometimes have a hard time stepping back and saying, you know what? I was wrong. I made a mistake. Even if it's once in a blue moon that you admit that to your team, that I could have done better, I should have done better, and it can be on small things, right? You have a change in the schedule, and now two classes sit closer together, or there's a class before or after a class when there wasn't. And you know that you should let that other instructor who's being impacted know, but you forget. The start of the new class sneaks up on you, you forget the communication, they have a little bit of a rough interaction with the new instructor coming in. It happens. And then the veteran instructor reaches out and is like, hey, you know, so-and-so came in to teach before me, and, you know, my class didn't have as much time to set up. It would have been nice to know there was a new class starting before mine. Instead of getting defensive, right? You know what? You're right. I'm sorry. I should have handled that better and communicated that with you. And just taking that moment to acknowledge, you're right, I messed up, I'm a human. Again, that's opening you up and showing your team that you are being transparent with them, you are being open with them, you are acknowledging that you had a shortcoming, and that goes a long way to them trusting you, because this transparency helps to build trust. If they don't trust you, you're not a team. End of story. You cannot build a team without trust. Right? If you sent an NBA team out there, five people on the court who didn't trust each other, it'd be a nightmare. Any team that you want to throw out, any sport, any whatever other analogy you want to make, the team doesn't work if they don't trust each other. So we can't build a team without the trust, and we can't have the trust if we don't acknowledge when we have messed up. It has also worked really well for me to seek team feedback along the way. When we're having our team gatherings twice a year, I let them know about 2 months in advance. And I say, hey, before I start planning this, if anyone has any agenda items that they think might be really useful for the team, shout them out to me. Send me an email, shoot me a comment on the invite, whatever. We'll chat about it. I'm always open to chat with my team about ideas they have. Because sometimes they have really fantastic ideas and they're just things I didn't have time to think of because I'm doing all of the things that I have to do to manage a team of 100 plus instructors across several clubs and do that at a high level, that sometimes the capacity for creative thinking and special events and all of those things, right? We don't have the same bandwidth they do. We don't know their members like they do in each class. So it can be really impactful for you to seek your team's input or their ideas. Hey, you want to do a themed class? Shout out to me. Let me know. You want to do this? You have a great idea for this. If your club does Les Mills, hey, if you have a launch idea for our next launch, I'd love to hear it. And likewise, after those gatherings, ask their feedback, right? Ask them to speak openly with you about how that experience was. Did they feel it was useful? Did they come away with it, with something from it? Do they have suggestions for how you could better engage the group the next time? All of that information allows them to feel like they are being heard, they are being valued. It allows to build the team better. Finally, last point I want to get to about this transparency is, like I said, acknowledging your faults from time to time shows you're human, allows them to know you're not above owning up to things you could have done better, which means you are open to input. You are open to change. You are flexible. It's not just ruling with an iron fist. And when the team trusts that they can come to you and share their ideas, and some of those ideas actually come to fruition, they get super excited and jazzed. This is all about keeping our team engaged, keeping them passionate, keeping them wanting to come into the clubs day after day, week after week, and be with our members. We don't want them feeling like they're looking forward to coming into the members, but they don't really want to have to deal with anyone at the club because they haven't had a great experience with them. So in order to do that, you know, we can be wholly open with them. Certainly, it's not about spilling our deepest, darkest secrets. But it really does go a long way when you acknowledge, these are the things I'm going to be really good at. These are the things I might need your help with, team. And that's okay. Like, my team knows that every now and then my ADHD is completely off the tracks and I'm a complete basket case. And I fully own that. 90% of the time I use that ADHD as my superpower and it allows me to do all of the different things that I need to do to keep my team running. But every now and then it gets the best of me. And those of you that are in that same boat kind of know, you just sit there like, man, there's so many things to do. I don't even know where to start. Where do I start? I don't know. Where should I start? I don't know. There's a lot of things to do, right? But if we set that groundwork wide open from them from the start and we let them know we're human, these are the things we're going to be pretty darn good at as a leader. These are the things that we're probably going to need their help with, and that we will actively ask for that. Every time that we reach out to them and ask for their feedback, ask for their help, ask for their ideas, that goes a long way. Then anytime they see some of that feedback or those ideas acted upon, goes even further. And then just reminding them that we are all in this together. At the end of the day, we are here to make people feel better, to make them move better, whatever it happens to be. But if we don't start with transparency, and if we are closed off to them, and if we are not accessible to them, we can't begin to build a team with them. And we 100% want to build a team because that team will look out for each other. And if they're looking out for each other, they're looking out for the brand, they're looking out for the members. And that's where you win day after day, week after week. If you enjoyed today's episode, heck, even if you didn't, go ahead and hit that subscribe button because we have plenty more group exercise instructor development content coming your way and you want to get it while it's hot and fresh. See you next time on the Group X Files.